The real meat and potatoes, though, of estate planning is probate avoidance. Probate is what happens if you die with any real estate outside of the trust or more than $100,000 outside of the trust in non-real estate assets. So if either of these two things are true, you own any real estate outside of a trust, or you have more than $100,000 outside of a trust, then your estate has to go through probate. What probate is, it's a year-long court case where your executor has to get permission from the court to distribute your assets the way you want them distributed. And it's bad for three reasons. First reason is that it takes a year. So your beneficiaries, your kids, your spouse, whoever you want to get access to your assets, won't be able to get at them until the probate case is over, and it takes about a year. The second reason it's bad is because it costs about 5 to 10% of your estate in attorney's fees. The court will just award arbitrarily 5 to 10% of your estate in attorney's fees to the attorney that handles the probate case, depending on how complicated the case is. So it's almost like a 10% tax on your estate if you have to go through probate. The third reason it's bad is because it's a real headache for the executor. I've had grown men sit at my table after 8 months into their probate case and actually break down into tears because it's been such a pain in the butt dealing with the court and gathering assets, preparing reports, and it's an emotional time and you don't want your loved ones having to deal with that. Good news is that probate is very easily avoided. What we do to avoid probate is we create something called a revocable living trust. A trust is a legal entity that can own property separate technically from you as an individual. When you create a trust, there's always a trustee and a beneficiary. And the trustee is the person with the fiduciary duty to manage the assets in the trust for the benefit of the beneficiary according to the terms of your trust. So while you're living, if you have a revocable living trust, you're going to be both the trustee and the beneficiary. The only duty is to manage the assets of the trust for your own benefit. So while you're living, you don't even notice the difference between owning the assets through your trust or owning them in your individual name. But what you get to do is named successor trustees, people who will take over if you're not able to act. So if you become mentally incompetent and you're no longer able to manage your financial affairs, the first person you list as a successor trustee can now manage the assets in the trust for your benefit without going through a guardianship proceeding. So that's one, that's kind of a fringe benefit of a trust. What you can also do is, just like a will, you can explain, you know, how you want your assets divided. You can say you want the gun collection to go to Jimmy and everything else divided among your kids. And then when you pass away, your successor is the person that's responsible for taking over the management of those assets. So what we do is we deed your real estate into the trust, and we take your savings accounts and money market accounts, and we transfer the title to those accounts in the name of the trust. 401ks, IRAs, retirement accounts, and life insurance policies. We just want to make sure that there's a living beneficiary to take those when you pass away. We don't often transfer those into the trust. We just want to make sure that not only is your spouse listed as the beneficiary, but you've got your kids listed as contingent beneficiaries. And what I mean by that is, if something happens to you and your spouse at the same time, and you don't have your kids listed on your policies, then these get dumped in your probate estate. You're over $100,000 and your estate has to go to probate. As long as we actually have someone living that's listed on these accounts and policies when you pass away, those will go directly to them. They'll avoid probate. They don't need to be put in your trust. We like that better because they can roll the 401k right into their own retirement account. There's no taxable event. They don't have to pay taxes on it. They can continue to allow it to grow tax-free. We like it better for life insurance because there's less red tape if it's paid out directly to an individual rather than going through a trust. So, back up a little bit. Remember the two rules. If you own any real estate outside of a trust, more than $100,000 outside of your trust, your estate has to go through probate with the Fed. So we've now transferred your real estate into the trust, we've transferred your savings into the trust, and you now have less than $100,000 outside of the trust. You leave your checking outside of the trust, and your vehicles and tangible personal property. And as long as when you pass away, you can honestly say there's no, well, your executor can honestly say there's no real estate outside of the trust, less than $100,000 outside of the trust, then instead of going through this year-long probate case, which is going to cost 10% of the estate, whoever the trustee of your trust is downloads a one-page form off the probate court's website called the Small Estate Affidavit. In that form, they testify. They get it notarized, they don't have to file it anywhere, but they testify in that form that there's a trust in place, no real estate outside of the trust, less than $100,000 outside of the trust, and therefore probate isn't necessary. And with that form, they can then immediately, without waiting a year like they would have to in probate, start liquidating your assets for the benefit of your beneficiaries. And they can also, that's the form that will allow the bank to pay them the money out of the estate. And they do it right away, they don't have to hire an attorney. When someone comes to me and a small estate affidavit is appropriate, I'll tell them, you know, you can pay me to prepare this for you, it's gonna be a couple hundred dollars, or here's the website you can go to, give it a crack, and if you have any trouble with it, let me know and I'll take care of it. But that's certainly less expensive than 10% of the estate. The other nice thing that you can do with a trust that you can't do with a will is you can have the hand beyond the grave controlling your assets. So, with a will, if you're going through probate, what happens is everything just gets paid out right away. There's no delay on the payment. With a trust can last for a very long time, and your trustee can manage assets for the benefit of the beneficiaries according to your wishes that you lay out in the trust for as long as really is necessary to effectuate your wishes. So what a lot of people will do is say that my kids can't have access to these assets until they reach the age of 21. Once they reach the age of 21, they can get it a third of the assets. Once they reach the age of 25, they can get it the second third of the assets. Once they reach the age of 30, they can get the rest of the trust. And this allows, it prevents the scenario where the 21-year-old kid is being paid out, you know, $100,000 from his parents' estate and blows it all on stupid stuff. You know, when I was 21, I probably would not have spent an inheritance that I got at that age very wisely. So a lot of parents like to put restrictions on when the child can demand payment, and they can do that with a trust. Now, at any point, the trustee has the discretion to pay as much as he or she feels is necessary for the benefit of that child. So what the trustee can say is, oh, you want to pay for grad school? Great. I'm happy to clear out the trust for that. You want a Lamborghini? Sorry, you've got to wait till you're 25 before you can get a two-thirds of the trust. And that's what trusts are about. Does anyone have any questions about that?